Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. I was grateful to Tony when he called and asked if I would come and be with you for worship. I am glad to know that the one thing I learned being with you this time and last time is that in the summer at Wesley Church, the back row Methodists are here and the front row Methodists are on vacation. That's what I learned from looking this time and last time. You have heard the words of the scripture, the words about love. You heard what is often referred to as the farewell discourse. That's how theologians and those who are studying these passages refer to these verses in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. I would put before you this morning that Jesus was ahead of his time, because what we have here is what now would be called sort of that last lecture series. Are you familiar with that? You have that opportunity. What would you say if you knew this was the last time that you were going to be able to address a group? Oftentimes, college classes, you know, that professor who tries real hard to get one more bit of information into the students that may or may not have been paying attention all semester long. I have not seen, but I understand and I have read a little bit about the gentleman who is doing this last lecture series as he has been diagnosed and terminally ill and those moments. And you have an opportunity to think about what's really important. You have a chance to go through and to go over those things that maybe you wish you could share. I remember in those moments when I had found out that I had been diagnosed with cancer, I remember thinking of all the things that really quickly that I wondered, you know, okay, will I miss this or will I miss that? And, you know, it was just through the blessing of God that, in my case, surgery took care of my situation with cancer. But it causes you to think of things differently. It causes you to stop and think, have I done and said those things that maybe I thought I would do later? Jesus knows, as he is gathered with the disciples, because just before this, there he's washed their feet. He's there talking about being betrayed. All of these things are happening, and he knows what's coming next. And it's hard for us sometimes to read these passages, to read these words, to hear these stories, and remember how closely the end was coming for Jesus. How close it was that he was out of time to teach and to be with his disciples. He knew he was running out of time, but the disciples, they only knew that the Passover meal had been a little different for them. That what they had planned to have happen had happened in a different way. There was, as you may be well aware, a particular pattern that the Passover meal followed. There was a particular liturgy, as we would refer to it. The disciples would probably not have said, Jesus, you messed up that liturgy. You used the wrong word. That's not how it goes. Those are the words we would say. The liturgy was different as Jesus went through that Passover meal that night. Jesus knows what's coming, and the disciples don't. Jesus continues to talk about commandments. A new commandment I give you, to love one another. Act this way, do these things, because I'm going away. Now, for a traveling group of followers, the idea that Jesus might be going away, they were used to going from place to place. So Jesus going away probably didn't sound so different or unusual. But the idea that there were mansions, or in this case, dwelling places, as some have said, that is closer to the original text. There are dwelling places that will be for you, and I'm going to get one ready. I'm going to make the dwelling places available to you. To hear their rabbi talk this way, it was more than they could process. It was more than they could understand in the moment. In what must have been a very swiftly moving conversation, Jesus covers so much ground If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love each other. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. All of this just built on top of each other. And the disciples couldn't be expected to keep up because they had no context to place all of this in. So I guess it's a good thing when Jesus offers a few more words to help them understand. He gives to them a few more promises to hold on to in the days and the weeks and the months ahead. He gives them these promises to help them know that life isn't as bad as it seems. In those moments when they were sitting around trying to keep out of the way because they weren't sure what was coming next. After all, Jesus had been crucified. So if they were followers, what was their fate to be? In those moments sitting around behind locked doors oftentimes, trying to make sense out of all the things that had happened, trying to put together the pieces and figure out what had happened and what went wrong and how all of this had anything to do with what they had believed in the first place. You can bet in those moments the disciples spend time replaying that tape in their mind over and over again. What exactly was it Jesus said? What do you think he really meant in that sentence? They shared those memories with each other and pieced together all of the words and all of the things that had happened around that dinner table the night when life changed, that night before things got so far out of hand and what they thought would happen was drastically changed. They can hold on to the memory that Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." They'd already been doing that. They'd been following him. They had listened to what he had to say when he was teaching. And they had tried, even though they oftentimes didn't get it. They had tried to follow what he had said. They had tried to live in the way that he wanted them to. Because it seemed to be so important to him, now they would try even a bit harder, though they didn't understand why. But the one thing they would hold on to, maybe the thing they held on to the hardest, the most tightly, is the part that Jesus said about sending an advocate, sending the Holy Spirit, sending the Comforter to be with them when he was gone. Because in those moments after he was gone, life certainly had changed and seemed so different, and they didn't know what else to do. Being gone now took on a whole new meaning now that Jesus had been crucified. Maybe it was in those moments after the crucifixion that all of this really started to make sense. Remember when he talked about dying and being raised again? Remember when he said, "The Comforter will be with you." Remember, remember. And they would try their hardest to remember exactly what had been said. We know something about that. We have those moments when we misunderstand, and later in hindsight, we look back and say, now I know what that meant. Why didn't I remember that sooner? Why didn't I pay closer attention? You can bet the disciples had some of those moments as well. One of the things I sort of think of when I read these passages and think about Jesus telling them again and again and again and probably a few more times, it reminds me of that process that happens with parents and their children. Or maybe it just happened in my house. Maybe it wasn't a part of your life. But growing up, my parents would tell me something and I would think, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I don't want to do that, or I don't want to be that way, or I really want to do what all of my friends are doing. And then when I had children, forgetting that as children we really don't listen to that much that our parents say in those moments when they're giving their wisdom to us, I repeat the same things. Don't do this, Be sure you do this. When you go out, remember that people know whose kid you are, so don't embarrass us too badly. And then they'd come home and say, well, Mom, when you get a call from Mrs. So-and-so, I really didn't mean to get in that much trouble. Generation after generation, we follow this pattern that Jesus lays out before us, telling us things that don't make sense until years down the road. When I was in college as an adult student, wondering why it was that I was that old learning these things I wished I'd known sooner, we had a college professor. In his one class, he would teach us things and he would say, now all of this will make sense to you 5 or 10 years from now. Just what you want to hear when you know there's an exam at the end of the semester. We tried to convince him to give us all A's now and we'd come back in 5 or 10 years and take the test and do really well. He didn't buy it. We do those things. We say those things over and over again, hoping that in the moment they will have gleaned something, whether it's children or friends or spouses, hoping that we will say something because we want them to know that we care, just as Jesus wanted the disciples to know that he cared. We do these things. We repeat this process that so often seems to be a lesson in futility because we want to protect those that we love and care about. And Jesus wanted to protect as well. One of the things I used to follow up on those moments when my kids would go, oh, Mom, you know, you got to be kidding me. And I would say, yeah, but remember when you're older and you've grown up with two parents and all these churches that you've gotten to live with and experience the stories and those that you remember fondly and those in other churches, not in Wesley, that you would like to have never met, you'll have really good stories to tell your therapist when you go into counseling. You know, if there had been counseling for the disciples, I'm sure they would have taken advantage of it because they needed someone to talk to put the pieces together. They needed somebody to sit down and listen and hear what they had to say and help them make sense of the things that had been said and done and the things that seemed to be senseless at the moment. But on the other hand, the therapist would not have had a context within which to fit the crucified Jesus. The therapist wouldn't have understood all that they already knew. How do you put into place those words that say, I will not leave you alone, when you know in the pit of your stomach that Jesus is gone? How do you deal with those words that say, if you love me, you will love each other, when you know that when Jesus was there and walking with you, you didn't do so well as disciples with it, and he was right there listening? Remember that wonderful exchange of the two brothers that wanted to sit on the right and the left? Because show us, Jesus, that you love us more, that we're worthy of being on your right and your left. They didn't love each other so well when Jesus was there, so now what are they going to do? How do you understand, because I live, you will live also, when the person who said that is now dead? What do we do, Jesus? They needed to know. But Jesus knew. He knew how hard it would be because he'd already seen how hard it was when he was there. So he knew how hard it would be when he wasn't with them. Jesus knew that they wouldn't understand right away, but he told them anyhow. There's another coming, one who will be with you, who will help you, who will make sense out of all of this, all that seems to be senseless right now. It will take a while, but you will get it because of love. Because love covers everything. Jesus' message is so filled with love, you just have to know that things will be okay. No matter what else happens, love will win out. In one of Fulgrim's stories, in one of his books, I believe it's the book that he wrote, that when it was on fire when I laid down on it, which is just a wonderful title to a book. I don't know why you'd lay down on it if it was on fire, but his stories are so great. And he tells a story about this young couple that wants to get married. And she's Catholic and he's Jewish. And they have all those dynamics that go with that disconnect for their families. Why would this nice Catholic girl want to marry this Jewish boy? And why would this Jewish boy be marrying this Catholic girl? And so the families choose up sides and they're not coming to the wedding. We'll show them that they're wrong. And they keep hearing, and they say to Fulgrim, love will win the day. Love will win the day. And so the plans go forward, and the grandmother of the young Catholic girl hears that her granddaughter's getting married, and she's an opera singer, and she decides that she'll be at the wedding, and not only will she attend, but she's going to sing. After all, this is her granddaughter's wedding. Well, if grandma's coming, then the rest of the family needs to come and be there as well. Because how would it look if grandma showed up and no one else did? This young Jewish boy has a rabbi for a grandfather. And the rabbi says, well, if grandma is coming, I'm coming too. And so then the rest of the family is sort of shamed into being there on both sides. The day of the wedding comes, and the opera singer grandma stands up and she sings Ave Maria. Just beautiful as she gives those words of blessing over the wedding. And so beautiful, and the groom's family is so moved that they stand up and they give her a standing ovation and they applaud as she finishes singing Ave Maria. And not to be outdone, the Jewish grandpa, the rabbi, stands up and he gives this blessing over this couple that has so much struggle to face ahead of them. And at the end of his blessing, the other family stands and they applaud as well. And when they come to the reception, the girl, the bride, looks at Fulgrim and says, I told you, love would win the day. In spite of all the differences, I knew that we loved each other and that they would understand. Love will win the day. Jesus knew things were going to get really bad and ugly before they got better for the disciples. Jesus knows that today some things have not changed and life still often gets pretty bad before it gets better. Jesus knew there would be many times when faith and belief in God would not seem to be the best choice, and there would be others who would ridicule and make fun and belittle those who held on to a belief that seems to be superstition to some. But Jesus knew so much more. He knew so much more because he knew that there was love to win the day and all the days that were waiting to be faced. So as we read this chapter, as we hear these words, as we hear this story again, we hear about love. God's love for creation. God's love for Jesus. God's love for us. Jesus' love for the disciples and all the disciples that are yet to come. And those that are here this day. Today we hear the story of the last lecture because it is told once more, and it's told out of love for you and for me and for all those that are waiting to hear the story because they don't know about God's love yet. We hear those words and we're challenged to be the ones that continue to tell the story. Because if the disciples had just heard and kept it to themselves, we wouldn't have had a chance. But because of love, they told, they shared, they remembered what was important. So today, remember that now it is your turn to tell that old, old story tell it once more, the story of how love will win the day. Tell your story with love as well. May we pray.